Everyone, welcome to our village board meeting. We love the full house. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll call our meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Sampson.
Here.
Present and accounted for. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented?
Move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Trustee Sampson, do I have a second? Trustee Harris, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. We would like to thank Wes Karnowski for participating on the Plan Commission and Board of Appeals over the last several years. Wes has submitted his resignation. We wish him well and thank him very much for all of his service. On September 12th, 2020, there is an Autism Society of Northeast Wisconsin walk, and that is going to be held, I'm guessing, in Green Isle Park. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay.
From 7:30 in the morning till 11 in the morning. They've submitted all the paperwork and done everything. So there will be a walk on September 12th. We would like to recognize back on December 15th, at 85 years of age, James or Jim Eflin passed away. Jim served our community as a Green Bay Public School board member and as an Alloway Municipal Court judge. We thank him and his family for his years of service, and I ask you to please keep Jim and his family in your prayers.
We did have our three incumbents file their complete paperwork to be on the April election ballot, and that would be Trustee Harris, Trustee Genrich, and Trustee Sampson. So the three of them have completed their forms and will be on the ballot. We did receive a fourth application. Unfortunately, that candidate, the signatures were short of the amount needed, so they will not be on the ballot.
Okay. Any other announcements from staff? Any other announcements from the village board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number four, public comment. Is there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to speak on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Mr. Herbert, have a seat. Clarence, come on up.
I'm not allowed to speak.
You disappointed if I didn't have anything to say. My question is on an item I won't have an opportunity to speak on it, and that's item 17. And I'm concerned that it might be legally correct, but maybe you could provide a little more information what kind of property you're thinking of acquiring, or where.
In the village of Alloway.
Right.
We're looking to potentially acquire a piece of property that's for sale.
Is that what you're telling me?
Right now, yeah.
Why is that?
Why? Because it's for sale, and there are potentially other people bidding on that property. And if we talk about it in public, we potentially lose our competitive advantage.
It's a buildable piece of land, then?
I'm sorry?
It's a buildable piece of land?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's not acquisition of additional park property?
No.
Okay. That's enough for now. I'll be watching.
Please do.
I'll be back for one day.
Please do, sir. Thank you.
I'll be a little bit more ad-tight.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clarence. Anyone else? Okay. We will move on, close the public comment section, and move on to item number five.
Mr. President.
Sir. Mr. Rourke is just requesting to put on record that he wanted to speak in the time.
Okay. Item number five, public hearing to consider adopting ordinance 2020-01, amending section 475-14C2A, side yards of chapter 475 zoning. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this public hearing? Come on up, Clarence. And as you're coming up, I'll just read it. The change is every lot in an A residential district shall have two side yards, one on each side of the principal structure. Neither of such side yards shall be less than 6 feet in width, and the total width of two such yards shall not be less than 14 feet. From the previous paragraph, the following will be stricken. Provided further, however, that for any principal structure which exceeds 35 feet or two stories in height or 60 feet in length or width, neither of such side yards shall be less than 10 feet in width. Mr. Matusik.
Well, I spoke to Trevor earlier on this today. I'm opposed to the change for a number of reasons. Number one, that the vicinity has been in the town and village ordinances longer than I've been here, probably 60 years or more. Served us well. There's a reason for it. If you have a bigger house, you need a bigger piece of land. You don't work like Milwaukee or Chicago where somebody's there 8 feet apart, not side yards, 8 feet apart from the building. Secondly, one of the concerns I had with coming that Guzman Cook and outside consultant is, I understand that's where it was initiated, because that was my first question, who brought this up. And in effect, they're suggesting to impose their standards on village valley, and we should be determining that. Finally, I cannot understand for the life of me why you would want to make any changes to zoning code while you've got a complete revision in progress. Why do piecemeal parts? They have to do parts of it over again, and you're kind of back where you started. I think you should just defer any action on that until after you've got that code in place. But I'll still be opposed because I think it's a good ordinance. And that's what I wonder how many houses in Halloway are 59 feet 11 inches wide. That was a method used to circumvent zoning board. I have no objection to that, but that was what was done. It was pick up an inch less than they fit. But I'm strongly opposed to changing for some of those reasons.
Okay. Thank you very much, Clarence. Would anyone else like to speak on this issue? Second time? Third time? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. Thank you. We will move on to item number six, action regarding adoption of ordinance 2020-01, amending section 475-14C2A, side yards of chapter 475 zoning. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genright.
Motion to adopt.
Okay, do I have a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion?
Yes.
I was just going to say, I know it's what everybody's doing, but I am just fundamentally opposed to losing any more green space, and we absolutely need to.
Okay. Trevor, once again, the reasoning behind this zoning change?
The reasoning is, as Clarence mentioned, the zoning consultant is recommending this change just to make it more uniform across all properties. And the reason why we're doing this section ahead of everything else is because we have a couple homes being proposed for development, and so we just don't want to hold up any of that progress. To answer a couple questions, the reason why this is likely was adopted in the beginning is it was kind of a trend during suburban development to require more open space. The thought was if you had bigger lots, you'd have bigger homes and increased property value. So as land is platted, that's kind of the thought there. However, the village is majority built up, and not everything's in full development now. So this is just giving, I guess, future residents the ability to maximize the property.
Okay. Any other discussion? I would tend to agree with Mr. Matuszak. Having lived in Chicago, I know it's like to have houses very close to each other. However, most of the properties in Alloway are built out. Although at some point in time, I would guess, as with most urban areas or even non-urban areas, you see redevelopment, right? As you build out, people knock down homes, build new homes, and ultimately put large homes on small lots. At least I've seen that in the past. And I would be concerned about that. And how much are we changing it by? 4 feet? Yeah. So we're changing it by 4 feet? Okay. Trustee Harris?
I was just going to say, one of them would change by 4 feet, the other is, with it still having to be 14 feet, the other side has got to be 8.
Yeah, that would be a total of 4, not 4 on each side.
Okay, any other discussion?
Just one other thought. Could be getting ahead of the game, but with GBCI potential closing and redevelopment of that property, is this code going to interfere with that? I know it could be 20 years down the road. I know it could be further down the road, but are we looking ahead?
This specific section or the whole zoning code regulation?
This particular code that we're redoing right now.
I think at that point we'll probably have to relook at our code. Our consultants are looking at or are considering GPCF and they're rewriting the code.
Okay.
But this specific section, I think we might have to relook at. I would imagine. Yeah.
Okay.
For the homes, for the folks who are looking to build homes on smaller lots or have bigger homes on a smaller lot, for them to get this, they could apply for a variance, correct? Or an exception?
Yes, but then they'd have to show hardship and unique property limitation.
Yeah.
And one other thing I forgot to mention, the zoning consultants are looking at what is recommended in our comprehensive plan. Our comprehensive plan calls for traditional neighborhood development, which calls for smaller setbacks, more density, that sort of thing. So that's, I guess that's part of what's leading the discussion as well. Is the comprehensive plan.
Okay. Trustee Harris.
I think the other thing we'd have to consider, though, looking completely on hypotheticals, though, is if that property were to be switched over to under village control, they'd close GBCI, we'd have to have certain areas of that property designated as residential A. I don't know if at that point we can put in caveats for those or if the ordinance would cover the entire village. So we would be, I'd hopefully be able to address that if and when it would come up.
I was just going to mention that there's certainly a local trend to build standalone condo-type houses. East Green Bay, Bellevue, De Pere, building a lot of those. A lot of those are built on pretty small lots. This might give us some more flexibility should we have some property available for that.
Good point.
And my concern is the village in the future. If we don't get more density and our costs keep going up but our tax base is flat, we have to get more density in order to support the future of the village. So, and we have to give the people here more opportunity to build out.
I'll throw in too, we've got a house near us that's sold on Deschamps, beautiful house that's sold for $500 or $550, and the first thing they did was tear down the old garage because the night they moved in, they had five cars in the driveway. You know, they've got kids of that age, and met them at a Christmas party. They love Alloway, but they needed a bigger garage. And if this is where this comes into play, that somebody needs, feels like they need, I'm not big on garages, facing the street and having all those doors, but that makes it livable. If that entices people to invest and stay in Alloway, and we allow them to use a little bit more of their property, it's a net gain. Yeah, I'd like to see more green space too, but it's great to see these old houses updated and people want bigger houses, bigger garages.
Sure. So, thank you. Anyone else?
All good comments, thank you. Okay, we have a motion to approve in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 7. We will open the public hearing to consider approval of a conditional use request from SKB Terrace LLC to allow for 2 9-unit apartment buildings at 3241-3245 Riverside Drive. Is there anyone in the audience this evening that would like to speak at this public hearing? And this, sir, in the back, come on up, please.
A quick question.
I'm sorry, would you come up, please? Oh, sure. Just, thank you. We'd like to know who's visiting you.
Well, pleasure to be here today.
If you could give us your name and
Mike
address.
Mike Quinn, and I live in Tamworth Court. In the my home is like a lot away from where this proposal is going to happen, and I'm not quite sure what the mechanics are of doing something like this. Now we're calling this a conditional use request. Could you define that for me?
Sure. So a conditional use is in a use identified in a specific district. In this case, in the commercial district, which is not allowed by right, but is allowed through conditional use. So there's certain other requirements that are asked to be met in order for the use to be allowed.
And what if mechanics and something like this? Now, how many hearings does one have before decisions are made?
We'll have this one hearing, and then the board will discuss and vote.
So when will we see an actual plan of what's going on?
So this was discussed that Plan Commission and then brought and scheduled for tonight for the public hearing, and then after this there will be a site plan developed that will show more specifics as far as the layouts, the screens,
right,
the buffers.
Yeah.
And would we as neighbors be aware of that and be able to, you know, take a look at it?
If you received a notice in the mail tonight, for tonight's meeting, you will likely receive a notice in the mail for future meeting as well.
Okay, great. Well, that was my question. So thank you all for answering.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks for being here. Anyone else? Sir, come on up.
Thank you.
John Hurrington. I live at 560 St. Mary's Boulevard. I have a property adjoining the property we are looking at getting the zoning change, basically.
Okay.
And I've lived here for about 30 years on that street. And I can tell you that that is a difficult road to get pulled up on. Okay. So I know that property with Town and Country was, and that first driveway especially is plain dangerous. I did some calculations, and I've got them listed over there for you. But basically, there's insufficient time to safely navigate out of that driveway. The back page there is a sheet from the state of Wisconsin, which would also indicate that if you look at 35 miles per hour posted speed limit, and the amount of time, its footage it takes to make that turn, you're not going to make it. You're not even close. So it would be considered a non-usable cutout at that spot. Going farther down, the second driveway, again, it's 450 feet roughly. I made my numbers wide, so I was trying to be as optimistic as I could on this. It doesn't actually qualify for trucks, like moving vans and big trucks and things of that nature could be making a left turn out of there. There's just insufficient space in distance and reaction time. My daughter-in-law actually was hit T-bone right down the block. It was at Willowbrook. Right at peak time, people are trying to get out of there. They're backed up in the lot. You know, someone tries to make it, and the car got nailed. I think when you have a quantity of people trying to get out of a small area, one driveway to work from, I don't think it's going to be safe. I think you're going to have the same type of scenario, and I think you're going to have somebody going to get killed. So I'm honest. And I can say that it does happen because my sister-in-law got killed in Delphi coming off the bus. So it's an important thing to be to see that the villagers aren't going to get injured. I don't need to have that. You know, if we're going to do something, let's do something that we're going to be looking at, because we're going to have more traffic down the road. It's just 20 years from now. That building will be there if it's there. We've got to make sure we have the right thing in there. We don't need someone, this being a problem the entire time that it's there. Just trying to be realistic about what's going on, and hopefully nothing, you know, bad comes from out of it. The state sees that there's going to be a lot of accidents there, which more than likely to happen. I can easily see us having the whole widening of the road situation starting all over again, and turning lanes and what have you. And I really don't think we want to go down the road again if we can help it. Hopefully, at least gives you an idea of what I'm thinking.
Thank you very much, John. Thanks for all the work you put into this. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Let's go in the back. We'll save the best for last. Just kidding. Hello. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Sure. My name is Megan Farr. I live at 3230 Tam O'Shanter Court. So this property is my backyard neighbor. I think 2 years ago I was here, and we had requested annex of a previous village triangle at the back of our property, so now we fully abut this property. I have some logistical questions in regards to the zoning and the conditional use as well. My understanding, with it having been a commercial property previous to this, there would be some requirements for either fencing or berming to create a barrier there. Currently, the rest of Riverside, the businesses there, do have a full berm. We currently have a tree line. There's no fencing or anything in that is a barrier to the back of our property. So what would be the requirements if this conditional use would go through and it becomes residential?
There's a fencing, berming, or a tree line that's 90% opaque year-round. You can do one over the other or a combination of all three, but that would all be part of the site plan review process.
Perfect, thank you. Also, as far as questions, I guess my question is it a site planning question in regards to how the building itself is going to operate or what the intention is as far as balconies, or will there be a site manager, or things like that? Because those are, our tree line currently is not opaque, so they'll be in my yard.
Or they'll have to have something else, right?
Right, or if there's like or if there's going to be a public gathering area, or what the hours of that are. You know, one of my general concerns, I will say, in relation to this becoming a residential use, is the times of high traffic are going to now coincide with it being residential. There's not been much concern from our neighborhood as far as it being commercially used or as much, because the times of operation are during business hours. Mm-hmm. So now that'll be a really high traffic time when we're home and on the weekends and things like that. So it's one of our thoughts as far as the families in that area.
And that is looked at during site plan review, right? The way the buildings are laid out and the...
Yes, the way the buildings are laid out will be looked at during site plan review. Operations and everything like that, we do have the developer here tonight. Maybe after the public hearing, she can share a little bit of
okay, great.
What she expects.
Thanks,
Megan.
Thank you. My name is Darren Sadler. I live at 601 Stemble Road. It's the property directly across the street from the proposed site. My concern follows along with the traffic and the danger that is surely possible from all the increased traffic that could be coming in and out of that driveway. That driveway is virtually right across the street from Stemble Road going on to Riverside Drive, and at times it's difficult, as without additional traffic coming the other way, to get out into the area during the business, during the high peak hours when people are going to and from work. And this would also increase because of people living there that probably would be keep going to work at business hours, and not just during the work zone commercial, you know, it was something to put something that people would visit once or twice during the day, that traffic would be lessened. So that's my concern. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Mr. Matuse.
I'm not planning to speak on this, and I don't have a stand either here or there. But a couple of different things. One, the procedure part of itself, maybe the supervisor answers John's question work. Conditional use, I think it may have been used once during my tenure of 24 years when I was the administrator. I view it as a device to kind of somewhat circumvent our zoning code to give the board more control, which is not necessarily bad. But I need a little elaboration on procedure, because if it's a rezoning for a proposal, normally the proposal comes in and describes what you want to do, and then you evaluate and decide. For on that, the traffic might have be very valid. I realize that Bill has 18 units. Now, I live in a little different situation, but adjacent to the end street, there are seven properties. One of them is vacant most of the year. And you'd be amazed the amount of traffic that comes on that site, too. But I think about half of them don't realize it's a dead end. But I can understand 18 units versus a business. That makes sense to me. So I'm not going to stand as one person's out. But could you explain this this heavy use of, or call it a device, of the conditional use? Why can't they just go ahead? You've got commercial zoning right now. They can build apartments in commercial zoning. So how can we require them to have a conditional use permit?
What it says is you can have conditional use for apartment buildings with four things that need to be met. Standards need to comply with the regulations of a high-density district unless otherwise mentioned in this section. Off-street parking requirements shall be complied with for each class of use. Accessory structures, including detached garages, shall be visible from the primary fronting road. Front and side yard requirements shall conform to commercial district standards, but shall not be applied to non-conforming buildings. So in order for it to be, in order for an apartment building to be, to go into that property, those conditions need to be met.
Okay. I should have best been modified adding since my time. So
okay.
Thank you for the explanation.
I thank you.
I'm falling apart here.
Take your time. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this thing? Come on up.
My name is Brenda Elfner. I reside at 425 Arrowhead Drive. And I recently purchased another property on Arbor Lane, which both of them are on each side of the property that you're speaking of. And here, I'm not prepared that well because I just found out about this meeting yesterday from people that live in the neighborhood that were very upset but weren't able to come tonight. I guess some of them called trustees. Hopefully that trustee will speak for the person. That wanted to remain anonymous, but I'm here because I own those two properties, transitioning from one to the other. I have to sell the first property because I was denied a variance in April for a second garage to be put into my Arrowhead house. The garage is going to go into the sunroom, but you know your law said at that point you can't have two garages. So my husband loves Alloway. He grew up in Alloway. People in Alloway do not want to leave Alloway. They want to stay here. They want to improve their houses. So I didn't know what to think about your first thing that you had approved tonight because we had setbacks, but we couldn't expand our first garage because of the setbacks, but we could add a second garage around the corner on a three-lot property because we had all the space over there, but we were denied it. Even though we owned three lots, it was like one lot, three lots into one lot, because of the two lot, the two garage ruling. So I like that you, I don't know what to think about it, but it's interesting. If you want to improve Alloway and allow people to, you know, up the tax amount, I think there's other ways besides bringing in 90 apartment complexes that people don't, aren't excited about to put up next to 500, 700,000 houses. Also, because I am driving those two roads daily with five children, both roads that Arrowhead and are tapped, which are on each side of this complex, are extremely scary to get up. You have to time it just right. And that's without two 9-unit apartment complexes right there. I mean, I sit there, you know, it's a horse of peace, Webster or Riverside. My daughter, she's 16. She turned 16 in April, she already got in a car accident. Her safest bet is to turn right on Riverside so she can get back up to Webster and take the stop sign over the highway, over Webster. I'm a little bit more daring and have more experience driving, so I can time things correctly. You put in a 9-unit apartment complex, two 9-unit apartment complexes there, right next to a daycare facility where little children go every day. I'm a first grade teacher, so I'm very passionate about children and their safety. So I'm very worried about people pulling out, that many people pulling out before work hours and after work hours. And I just think there's other ways to improve the tax thing. 9-unit, yeah, it would be great. But for the life of a child, and when I have five children, 16, 15, 14, 13, 11, they're all going to be driving. We had to buy the other property so they could drive safely, so they could park safely. We found that house, and now I'm worried, more worried than I was before, because of all the traffic that will be there. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Is there anyone else who would like to come on up, sir?
Excuse me. My name is Will Devilak. I also live at 500 St. Mary's Boulevard. I'm the Jafars. Megan and Jan are directly behind us. Our property is, I believe, best described as adjacent to this proposed property. Also, like everyone else that's spoken here tonight, I have a lot of concerns regarding added traffic volume. I believe that an 18-apartment building, along with the potential cars that are going with it, is just too much for that little space. Also have a strong concern about green space and rain runoff. There's a lot of rainwater that comes down to St. Mary's Boulevard at the bottom of the road, and we have a low water easement that's adjacent to us that unfortunately does absorb a lot of that runoff. I have a concern about added fill and the direction of where water will go when this proposed property does go into effect. I also have strong concerns about privacy. I love Alloway. I've been here for 15 years. I've been at St. Mary's Boulevard with my wife for 7, going on 8 years. And I do not want to see a lower demographic apartment complex go into this space simply because it's going to reduce our property values. And like other speakers have said, I believe that there's better ways that we could be using this space to potentially gain revenue above and beyond from a apartment complex. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this item?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. I followed this property for quite a while. The village purchased the property for a public purpose, and that was eventually going to become Mayflower Greenhouse, but that transaction fell apart. And the village now has sold it to somebody who's going to put in an apartment building. So I don't believe that this project fits with the original public purchase and why the land was purchased in the first place. I'm not opposed to the apartments, just because I'm just not opposed to apartments if they're designed well and they provide safe access to the schools and to the parks. And this building, as it's designed right now, that I've seen at the previous meetings, doesn't have any sidewalks. There's no plans for sidewalks. You're on a very busy state highway, so there's no access for the children in these units to get to walk to school or to walk to the parks or to get out of the project itself at all. So I would just like to see that taken into consideration, to make sure that there's pedestrian safety and pedestrian access to our park systems and to the schools. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? We should bring these things up more often in village board meetings. We get a good audience. Well, thank you very much. Megan, come on up.
Megan Farr, 3230 Tampa Center. Will actually reminded me, and I had it in a different notes. I would potentially invite the property owner to come and look at the runoff. I would say that my yard kind of takes the biggest brunt. It is significant, so how that's going to be routed with the parking needs of that property is likely a concern. The back of our yard floods completely and ices over to the point that we do have a small skating rink that is sustained year. Throughout the winter, so it is fairly, it's quite a bit. So I would invite some viewing of that. Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Judy Poe, 2375 Riverside Drive. I find this a very interesting conversation. I'm listening specifically to what they're saying about the water runoff, because I have a duck pond next to me with the water situation in the neighbor's yard, and if they would ever decide to build something on that property, I know I would be in for a lot of trouble, and so would the people who had built there. And I'm wondering if maybe these apartments, they couldn't get together with the fellow who's trying to sell his property on the other side of Riverside Drive. I can't think of the name of it right now, but you know which piece of property I'm thinking of. Maybe that would be a better place for those apartments than down there. Okay. So that's my 2 cents.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to speak on this matter? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to come and talk to us on this and share your opinions. We will close the public hearing and move on to... We will move on to agenda item number 8, conditional use request from SKB Terrace LLC to allow for a 2 9-unit apartment building at 3241-3245 Riverside Drive. Do I have a motion on this item?
For sake of discussion, if nothing else, I will move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll continue that same theme and offer the second for that.
Okay. Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Well, I want to follow up on the question of the gentleman who gave us the hand up, Mr. Harrington. Who decides? I mean, it appears to be well-researched. He took a lot of time, a lot of valid observations, but it's still someone's perspective, someone's opinion. Who has the final say on whether the sight lines are adequate and the speed limit? Is that something county law enforcement gets involved in, or does the DOT, do we give them this and they see where the driveways are? Do they offer us an opinion? How do we answer that question?
Well, I'll do my best, Trevor, to jump in. That property right now is 2 DOT approved driveway entrances, the engineer, I would hope that the engineer would, based on the concerns of the people here, that they would look at the driveway site distances to make sure that the driveways are safe.
The engineer for the developer?
Yes.
We did also forward this onto the DOT because it is a DOT state highway, and they are proposing relocating the driveway, so that will be an approval from the DOT. So we haven't heard back from the DOT as far as, I believe it does have to go down to the Madison office for driveway locations, but I anticipate hearing back, and you know that's something that will have to be figured out prior to construction.
Relocating the 2 driveways. For a development of this size, they need 2 driveways? Is that required under code?
Not necessarily. A lot of times it has to deal with a fire. Is the reason why you want the 2 driveways so the fire trucks can maneuver and do the circle. I know there has been other developments in the village that I've been a part of where the fire department has approved one driveway as long as there's sufficient space to maneuver and back up and get to the different parts of the buildings. There are other reasons why, you know, there's a preference for 2 driveways, but fire is typically the biggest reason.
Trevor, when you say that they are requesting a move to the driveway, who is they?
Well, I guess I can show you what the developer has proposed conceptually, but again, this still has to go through site plan review, so right. This isn't final site plan, but according to what's being proposed here, I believe this is one, the existing drive entrance is right here, and they're proposing sliding it down, I'd say about 10 feet. So that is the existing entrance that is approved by the DOT currently today. And I believe there might be one up here. I haven't, I'm not entirely sure, but they do have a shared access agreement that was established way back in the day with previous property owners with the commercial space to the north. So that shared easement is shown with that hash mark right here.
So the proposed driveway that we're looking at right now is further to the south than the existing driveway?
You're talking about this one?
No, I'm sorry. The one, yeah.
Yeah, it's further to the south. So I'm not sure if anyone in the audience can see that, but it's in your packets, and you can. There's a faint line right here that's drawn, and it shows the existing driveway today. And then the darker shadowed area shows the proposed driveway.
Which makes it closer to St. Mary's than the current site.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Chris, any other thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to share a reaction to something I heard. The phrase lower demographic apartment complex was used, and I'm not sure that's fair when this first came to our attention. I had the intent of maybe going and looking at a unit because this builder has three or four other larger developments in Brown County. I did drive around, and you don't see much from the outside, and it was a lot of parking lots, and the apartments really didn't open to the street or the parking lot or the drive-thru, but it looked to be a pretty well-kept development, so it would be our hope that we'd have that kind of thing here, that they might be nice units in addition to the village. The only other thing I would ask is if that site is tight and doesn't lend itself to berms or some of the land-intensive things for screening, if we would reject a larger development, somebody could always come back with fewer units that might allow for a bigger buffer zone, and that also might answer some of the neighbors' complaints are valid. That's hypothetical. That would be my question.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'll ask that. Is this, you know, we haven't had that many units, but is that a tight site for apartment development of this sort, or is that not all that unusual?
I mean, it does meet the floor area ratio that is a condition upon approval, or condition for approval. But to answer your question, regardless of the developer is required to provide some sort of buffer between the residential and the development, the single family residential. And so whether that's a fence, a privacy fence, berm, or a row of trees, they are required regardless.
But that's their choice. The village cannot specify which one or which combination.
That's correct. No.
It's their choice. Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Trustee Ken?
I had a discussion with one of the neighbors who wasn't able to be here tonight, and her concerns pretty much echo what we've heard here in terms of access and egress and traffic and all that. I think that was a number one concern. She also done a little homework, and I was able to talk to the developer briefly about that. One of the properties that the developer manages out of quite a number, one of them has had some issues, but let's say the clientele, whatever, at that property is a little different than the potential or targeted population at this property. So I think that concern isn't one that we need to be overly concerned with. Access egress is an issue. Proving this tonight doesn't rubber stamp the whole process. There are still hoops to go through to make sure that all those T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and all of those kinds of things. And obviously we want what's best for the property and best for the neighbors and access in and out and all those kinds of things. So, but I wanted to share her concerns. Again, she wasn't able to be here. So lives right around the corner, I think.
Any other discussion? Trustee Harris?
A couple of items that came to mind. I don't know with the development we've seen on St. Joseph, the Bishop's Court, with the different units that we've had going in there, because there are, I believe, six per building, and we're on our and the six or nine.
Chapel Hill.
Or Chapel Hill, pardon me. Thank you. With the increased amount of residents there, I don't know if we've seen an uptick in traffic or traffic instances. You still have to get out onto Riverside, which at that intersection, no, personally, it's not the easiest thing to do. So maybe that's one thing we should consider. At first glance, to me, the 2-9 units seems rather compressed, tight. It does fit, and we wouldn't be this far along even at this point if it didn't at least fit, but it seems a little tight. But would there be a big difference if, let's say, there were two buildings of 6 units as opposed to 2 buildings of 9? Would 12 make that much more of a difference than 18? I don't know off the top of my head. I'm just bringing it up for a point of discussion. But I also know that a couple of the original proposals on this property didn't work financially for the developer. So there has to be that balance there for them to be able to invest in the village, to have them at least make a return on their investment. And then the only other thing that comes to mind is if we have development on the, no pun intended, riverside, that open land, how much more traffic are we going to see? I don't know if whatever units, building, commercial, residential goes along Riverside, are we going to have that same issue no matter what? Different things to throw out there.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I agree the traffic isn't going to get any better on there with anything going up. It's going to cause more of a problem. So I don't know what the answer would be to that. Even the rebuilding the street one to address that.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I just want to reinforce what Trustee Harris said. These discussions have been going on for a year and a half, 2 years or whatever, with different plans. So it's not like this was presented to us last week and rubber stamp it, push it through, and all the rest. There's been a lot of give and take about what's right for that property, and the developer's been very good about trying different things and comparing the prices, engineering, all those kinds of things. So we're trying to come up with the best solution here. And this is simply another step in the process, and there'll be room for more input as we go. So I'll keep them going.
One thing I just wanted to... the runoff or the water issues are addressed during the planning stage too. So I'm not sure what would happen with that. Trevor, can you help me on that?
Yeah, there's different standards that we have today that, you know, frankly weren't in place when previous developments were. A lot of neighborhoods, you know, we constantly are receiving phone calls with water complaints. And there are different standards that we have in place today that will help mitigate that. Can't promise that the issue is going to completely go away, but it shouldn't make it worse. I don't know, Sean, if you want to touch or base on the stormwater requirements we have.
Yeah, the development would require a stormwater permit. And a development of this size would require post-construction stormwater best management practices for water quality and for peak discharge. There's the showing of a detention pond in the southeast corner of the property. So I haven't seen anything yet, but as this project moves along, if it moves forward, we'll have to submit a stormwater management plan.
Right now, we're showing that. Is that where that big ravine is in that property? There's a big, like, hole in that property.
Actually, it's right to the north here.
Is it possible that the detention pond, the place it is right now,
could actually help alleviate some of the flooding issues on the adjoining properties?
I'm sure, yeah. It would be, that pond would be sized accordingly if there were areas that drained into the site. I think that would be designed to accommodate the additional runoff at the end of the property.
Okay. Any other thoughts? My thoughts on the issue are, first of all, staff is recommending approval of the conditional use permit contingent on the location of the driveways being approved by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation and the village staff. I heard loud and clear tonight that safety is a key issue for most folks here tonight, and I share that. My main concern is actually the driveway being moved even further south. I live on Briar Lane. Making a left-hand turn out of Briar Lane or St. Mary or Arrowhead or any of the streets along Riverside Drive is not a pleasant experience. And kind of, as you said, you go, right? You do your best and you go. The sight lines aren't great because of the way the road's laid out. We have been through discussions with the state of Wisconsin DOT for several years now about trying to make Riverside a safer place, safer to cross, safer to get in and out of, and I would be shocked and disappointed if at this point in time they decided to put a driveway in that was not going to make it safe. Thoughts I had looking at this is make it a right turn only exit. Making a left-hand turn out of there is going to be the scary part because you'll have people coming off of St. Mary's and they'll be right up on it. With that having been said, up and down the entire roadway, we have people scrambling to get in and scrambling to get out. And I don't know that a development like this would actually change things a whole lot. It's just that its proximity to St. Mary's, the driveway, is concerned. It would be nice if it was possible to move driveway even further north. I don't know if that's possible or use one driveway up where the shared easement is. In terms of water runoff, I feel your pain. We can go skating in my backyard too, and up and down many of the yards in the alleyway. It's the good old clay that keeps us going. But on that property, I would hate to see any new development, or I wouldn't want a new development that would make current conditions in Mother Nature even worse. So I would hope that, or I would suggest that, if this were to go forward in the process, and it's not, tonight's not a rubber stamp to say yes, I would hope that stormwater detention pond would actually help ease the and be designed in such a way to help all neighbors and surely not make anything worse. Some thoughts had come up, and if the developer would like to say a few words, I would be more than happy to suspend the rules. If you don't, that's fine too. It's up to you.
We have to talk.
Okay, can we suspend the rule? I motion to suspend the rule. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Discussion?
Who was the first?
Pardon me?
Who was the first?
Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Karen, would you come up, please? And before Karen speaks, I would like to say we have gone down the road for quite a while, and Karen's been great, and the staff has been great, and hopefully we can come to the right solution.
I'm Karen Clarkson, and I own SKB Management. Been in the property management and commercial property management business since 1983. And this property I was so interested in because it's a fabulous location, and there is a need for multifamily housing in the Alloway area of apartments upscale apartments. I appreciate all the comments, and it was really interesting to hear all the comments from the neighbors. And we retain Mowen Associates as the engineers for this site. So, and you may know that they're probably one of the best engineering companies around. And so they will be addressing the water and runoff issue. And I have utmost faith in that. That concern. The traffic is clearly a concern because I know that we all have experienced getting onto Riverside Drive. And we currently manage and have been managing some property in Alloway for probably 25 years. And much larger community. One is Del Rio Apartments, is 28 units. Another one is Villa Andalusia, which is 24 units, and so we, you know, you've got over 50 apartments, and in Alloway also coming onto Riverside Drive, and we've never had an issue with. I'm sure there's been times when people are a little bit scared about getting onto Riverside Drive, but there hasn't been an issue with any additional traffic. This community is going to be mirrored like the property that we have in Grand Chute. It's the same 9-unit building. And very, very upscale, similar to like condo living, 2 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, fireplace, attached garages, 1 and 2 stall attached garages. And the resident profile there, with the rents ranging anywhere from, say, around $850 up to, say, $1,200 or $1,300 a month, the profile is such that we have professional people, a fair amount of retired people, and so there hasn't ever been a real issue about traffic or everybody leaving at the same time. Because it has been a variety of the variety of the profile of the residents. I'm trying to think if I addressed all the issues, but I think the safety was the biggest concern. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I added anything to it or not, but
I think you have.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Make a motion to pick up the rules. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I'm glad Karen brought that up, and thank you for talking. When you have a mixed-use development, like, or not a mixed-use, but a high density, you have different people living in on different time frames. In the Alloway Comprehensive Plan, it does say that, and we've had heard people for years say, we love Alloway, we want to stay in Alloway, but we don't want a house. So we want a nice place to live, and there is a need for this type of housing. So I'm not concerned with the 18 units. I'm concerned with the safety getting in and out for the residents of your development, and everyone else concerned.
President Rector?
Yes.
Could we go into a little more detail about what other steps would need to take place throughout this process? We've mentioned a couple different times that this is for the conditional use permit, and it's not a rubber stamp, but I want to make sure that everyone involved understands, and I may not know all the steps, of what happens next. What is it, 3 more steps, 4 more steps, 2 more steps type of thing, and a ballpark process.
Great point. Thank you. Would you be so kind?
Sure. So after tonight, then I believe Karen or Ms. Clausen will likely have her engineer further develop their site plan, look at more details, obviously invest more money into that phase of the project. So that site plan will ultimately come back before the Planning Commission and Village Board for review and approval. Although if they meet everything that's required, which regarding screening and that sort of thing, then it should be approved. But prior to that, there's going to be review from staff. Our building inspector and fire department usually review the plans to make sure that the fire department can get their different vehicles in and out. But then there's also going to be stormwater review. Sean might not, by the end of site plan review, it's not always final stormwater approval at that point, but at least there's preliminary discussions making sure that the different runoff and stormwater issues are addressed. Then there's also the approval from the DOT as far as the curb cuts. And again, like I said, that comes from the Madison office, I believe. And so that will take some time. A lot of that can happen concurrently with each other. But I would anticipate this being a couple months yet before this Clausen breaks ground, and it really is. But,
Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
And regarding Mr. Harrington's concern about the rates of speed and all of that from the state website, state DOT obviously looks at their requirements to determine if that is a safe exit as close to a street as it is, right, to St. Mary's. That would be more of a Sean thing, I think. But.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think they would permit a driveway opening if it wasn't safe. They would look at the line of sight of each driveway and make sure that there's enough opportunity, a large enough gap for one to turn left and for one to turn right out of the driveway.
And it may also be something, if this all gets approved and ends up being developed, it's not only an issue of safety when people are driving at the posted speed limit, but it's also even worse when people are flying at 45 or more down Riverside Drive. So some kind of increased presence of our finest could surely help that go a long way to improving safety. And that's something I think we should look at regardless. Great discussion. Anyone want to make a motion on this item?
I think I did.
You did make a motion. You did make a motion. May I make an amended motion? And that would be to approve it based on the contingent on the state's approval for, and not guarantee, but approval of the driveway access and staff approval of that as well.
Do you want to add stormwater to that? Or is that a given?
Stormwater is a given through the planning process.
Okay. That's a friendly amendment. I would say yes.
Okay, thank you. Is that okay on the second?
Yes.
Okay. So we have an amendment to approve a contingent on the approval of the state DOT and the staff. That's what it is. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. I would also encourage the state to really look at that and ask Mr. Clausen to also consider any recommendations to make it safe for your residents as well as everyone. But I thank everyone for your input on this. It was a great discussion. And ultimately, I hope we have a great thing in that property.
President Raptor.
Yes.
We'll also still have the site plan review meetings.
Yep.
So everybody stay involved in those as well.
And the way you can stay involved in those or aware of those, if you're not on the village email list,
go to the village website and sign up to be on our email list. You'll be notified of lots of different meetings, including the Plan Commission meeting, the village board meeting, and anything else that's going on in the village. And tell your friends and neighbors to do the same. Moving on, number 9, action regarding resolution 2020-01, thanking Mr. Mike Dennison for his years of service as a yard waste site attendant. Is Mike here? He is not. Do I have a motion on the following resolution? Resolution 2020-01, Village of Alloway, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Michael Dennison for serving as a yard waste site attendant since September 14, 2014, and to honor Mr. Dennison with a resolution and certificate of recognition of his excellent service to our community. It will say passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway the 7th day of January 2020. Do I have a motion? Trustee Genrich. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? We have long been served by Michael and made that yard waste facility something that the village can be proud of. And we thank him very much for his years of service. We have a motion to pass and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 10, resolution 20-02, Village of Alloway. Be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank William Laird for serving as yard waste site attendant since April 2nd, 2007, and to honor Mr. Laird with a resolution of certificate of recognition of his excellent service to the community. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway the 7th day of January 2020. Do I have a motion on this item?
I'll motion that.
Trustee Atwood, seconded by Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? Thank you very much to Mr. Laird for his service. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, Croc Center Donut 5K Fun Run on June 6th, 2020. This is a new event and therefore needs to come before the Village Board. It is going to be held on Saturday, June 6th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. The event actually concludes at 2:30. There will be no alcohol sales. They are renting the Green Isle Pavilion and multi-use field space for the event. And they hope to make this an annual event in the Village of Alloway. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve said donut event.
Trustee Kendrick.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the donut run and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. And thank you to the Croc Center for choosing Alloway to host their event. Item number 12, discussion action, Green Bay Area Public School request for village input in the selection process of a new superintendent. Mr. Lang.
I guess I was contacted by School Board Trustee Eric Vandenhoek, did I say that correctly? And in regards to the search for a new school, Green Bay Area School Superintendent, was asked if there was a way the village may want to participate or have some input, and I invited Eric to come to the board and share what some of his thoughts are.
Wonderful. Welcome, Eric. Come on up.
Thank you for having me.
And if you could give us your name and address, that would be greatly appreciated.
Those are the same thing, but you can go one way or the other. My name is Eric VandenHeuvel. I live at 2345 Bay Beach Court in Green Bay, and I'm a member of the Green Bay Board of Education and the person who's been represented or is representing the district in leading our search process. So what I'd like to do here today is just to quickly give you an overview of sort of where we've been as a school board and then to ask for your help and explain why we believe that's important. So Dr. Michelle Langenfeld has been the superintendent of the Green Bay School District for quite some time. She announced last spring that she would be retiring at the end of the 2020 school year, so this summer. So, quick timeline, this past fall in October, we contracted with Hazard, Young, and Atiyah, a search firm, to help us lead our search process. The first step in that was for them to help us to build a candidate profile. And that's essentially what you have in front of you today. We submitted a survey out into the community. We held listening sessions. We put together as many groups as we could to try to hear what is important in our community, in our school district, in terms of hiring a next superintendent. And that's the document you have in front of you. It's also available on our website, so certainly anybody who's interested in going to look at that document. Very important step in the process, but really then it's the number of candidates who come through and now using this as a standard when looking and interviewing those candidates. So where we're at right now, we've had the position open and accepting applications. I believe last check we've had over 25 applicants. And we intend to receive a slate of somewhere between 6 and 10, 6 and 12 of those top candidates and interview any number who we feel fit our profile. Those interviews are scheduled to take place January 27th and 28th. From there, it's our hope to narrow it down to a top two or three, and by state statute, we're required to go public once we have our top two or three candidates, depending on kind of what the field looks like. Once we get to that stage, there will be full-day public interviews where we bring the candidate into the district. We have them meet with as many different groups and interested people as possible, and we take all that feedback, right? That's sort of our opportunity to have that person interact. Now, the reason why I wanted to come here proactively is that we believe at the Green Bay School Board that, first of all, our district is much larger than just the city of Green Bay. Our relationship with the Village of Alloway, with Bellevue, with the town of Scott, and other municipalities is important in our district going forward and our district's health. We're the fourth largest school district in the state of Wisconsin. As I sit here and listen to people who are interested about the Village of Alloway, part of what makes a community attractive is its school district. And so we believe, as the school board for the Green Bay Public School District, that we need to have a proactive relationship with all of our stakeholders, including the Village of Alloway. So I also reached out to our other municipalities and offered the same thing that I'm doing here for you today. And so I guess what I would ask is, without knowing all of the details, February 16th, 17th, and 18th, I believe, is what we tentatively have scheduled to bring in those finalists. Don't know what a full-day schedule will look like, but certainly we'll communicate that with you. And if you have the opportunity to attend any of those sessions, to interact with our top candidates, and then provide us with any of your takeaways, what are the important issues, if you have the opportunity to ask the candidates, specifically to the residents of Alloway, we would love to hear those, and if we can either relay those questions or if you can ask them directly yourself, we'd be happy to do that. And then, again, once that is finished, we would love to have any feedback from you in helping us to make this a very, very important decision. So that's really all I have for you today. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. Otherwise, really, it's about following up with next steps.
Great. Any questions for Eric?
Is your sense that you've got some good candidates? I mean, I look at this profile, I think, oh my God, walks on water should be in here somewhere.
Yeah, the analogy that we've heard is that essentially we're looking for God on a good day.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lot to be proud of and excited about in the Green Bay School District, and we have our fair share of challenges. And we believe that we can present some really strong things. If you want this kind of a challenge, come in and take it on, and we'll be here to support you. And part of being here to do is to start to build some capacity and support for this person. This person's able to come in and is going to have a very difficult job and have to make difficult decisions. And if we can build some collaboration on the front end and know that we want to work together and that we want to establish this relationship, then that will help to accomplishing a really difficult choice. So we believe, I have not seen all the 25 applicants. The search firm will bring us kind of the cream of the crop of that group. But we're excited and confident that someone's going to step to the table.
Great.
So, and we think it's going to be a tough decision.
I have a question about the nature of your invitation and coming here tonight. Mm-hmm. Are you specifically with this search inviting elected officials from all the, or are you asking us to communicate out to our constituents, which, you know, yeah, they're already invited as
yeah,
parents.
Yeah, I would say yes. We would love to have any of you involved. Know that you're very busy in your professional and certainly your public service lives. Love to have you involved specifically because you represent this community. But certainly, if you can help us with communicating the message and helping us to get the message out that we value everyone's input and would love as many people as possible to participate. So ideally, any and all of you, and certainly anyone else that you'd like to communicate with, the more the merrier.
Eric, how would we reach you?
I've got my business card, so I'll leave that here. I can pass it out
very good.
Right now.
Thank you.
It's got my cell phone and my email address.
Good.
So
you can leave it with Brad. Thank you.
Yep.
Eric, I'd like to applaud you for reaching out and doing this. It's a great step to include all the communities, including Alloy. I thank you for that. It's very encouraging.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Like one of the things Brad and I were talking about before is all of us in public service, whether we're leading a municipality, be it a city or a school board, we're all dealing with challenges and limited resources and increasing need, and regardless of what area that we're in. And we're not going to be able to continue to do things the way we've always done them. We're going to have to focus on collaboration. And so that's why it was important for us to reach out. And we want this to be the norm going forward, but I appreciate your comments.
Great, thank you. Any other questions, comments for Eric?
Just thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Doing the good work.
All right, you guys too.
Thank you.
Wish more people would stay.
We feel the same way sometimes.
Tell people you want to raise their taxes. They'll be here. Action item number 13, approval of the purchase of a leaf truck vacuum system. Sean.
This year's budget includes the purchase of a used garbage truck to be retrofitted with an ODB unit or a leaf vacuum system. We're going to be adding a second leaf vacuum truck this year. We had, before Christmas, we had prepared a advertisement for quotes for the purchase of the leaf vacuum system with the village of Ashwaubenon for a couple of reasons. One, we had heard that there would be a 4% markup this year and to try to gain a cost savings through the advertisement of two units. The quotes for the ODB unit were opened on the 23rd of December. Unfortunately, we only had received one quote, and that was from McQueen Equipment in the amount of $54,348 for each unit. The cost of that unit comes in within what we had budgeted, and I would recommend approval of this quote.
Do you think we saw any economies of scale by going in with two?
I think so. At a minimum, we're going to get a cost savings on the shipping. I think we're going to save about $1,500 on the shipping.
Okay. Very good.
Quick question.
Yes.
Was the quoted amount also within the figure that the village of Ashwaubenon expected?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. I just don't know if we need to... If we were to make a motion to approve this, we've got to make a contingent on.
I think so, because they were going to move ahead with the purchase. To lock in the price, we had verbally indicated to McQueen that we were going to purchase these units, and we had told them that was just a formality that we had to go through this that this unit had, this equipment had already been approved in the budget, but we had to follow these steps. So
following up on Trustee Harris's comment, if Ashwaubenon were not to move forward, would our price be the same, do you think?
I would think so.
Okay. If anyone wants to make a motion to approve, you can always say at what cost, right? And that way we're approving exactly what's being presented to us at $54,348. Any concern on that?
No.
Because that's what they're going to sell it to us for.
Right.
Okay. I will entertain a motion. Trustee Green.
Move to approve for specified cost.
Well said. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? Thank you very much for working to keep our costs as low as possible and get us the equipment we need. We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. We'll take items 14A through D as one. Do I have a motion on this item? Consent agenda. Trustee Harris.
So moved.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 15, discussion regarding Southbridge Connector Tier 1 Environmental Impact Statement.
The Federal Highway Administration, Wisconsin DOT, and Brown County have begun to look at Southbridge Connector, the environmental impact statement for that. Included with that would be the evaluation of several alignments or corridors for the roadway. I guess the intent tonight is just to make you aware of that. And the study is going to get started soon, and we'll keep you informed. Sure. The environmental impact statement would wrap up end of this year, fall of this year, and if this project moves ahead, and I believe it will, the construction of it, which would happen in through a number of different stages and phases, would be constructed by early 2030.
Okay. Right in time for the new development on GBCI to be done. We'll need that extra access. Yes, Trustee Harris.
One other thing, with sitting in on the Brown County Planning Commission, in terms of the projected construction process, what they would do is, because of the approval to update lanes on 41, the construction would start at whatever interchange would be chosen and then head east. That's how they would do the work. At first, people were wondering, are you going to do the bridge first or not? It would be because of the because of that construction, that's how the sequence would work.
Great. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. And they have held a couple of public meetings on it, and they will continue to do so, I'm sure. Okay, keep us informed. Thank you. Item number 16, future agenda items. Anyone on the village board like something on the future agenda item? Hearing none, we will have no further future agendas. Item number 17.
Oh, wait a second, President. Just to back up, we had been adding nuisance properties as discussion on the agendas. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's fallen off on this one. Can we get that back on? I think it's a good conversation to have.
Sure. Any specific topics on that? Or?
Lynn,
yeah,
defer to you.
Yeah, we've kind of gone there passing the ordinance, but yeah, it would be interesting to get an update on how the ordinance change is affecting his ability to get control over nuisance properties, and then also where they are. I think there's a lot of utility into us knowing where they are, because they are again and again and again.
The same ones.
And again. And sometimes they get forgotten because they're isolated, but they are, to the neighborhood, they're a huge issue, and to surrounding property values, they're a huge issue. So, yeah, I agree. Let's get it back on maybe once a month to just have an update.
So to get staff guidance on what we want to know, we'd like an update on whether or not the ordinance that was approved is having any effect, and Trustee Green asked where the nuisance properties are, and just an update on how we're being successful at dealing with that. Anything else? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business, whatever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, specifically potential real estate acquisition. Do I have said motion?
So moved.
Trustee Sampson, seconded by Trustee Dirt. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Genrick.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dirt.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Sampson.
Aye.
Thank you. We are enclosed. Thank you.